Welcome back to Over To You, 26 minutes past 7. The time is flying by and we are going to talk now in the next segment about driving offences. But before we do that, I wanted to give you a chance to get in touch and you can ask any questions to our legal eagle Andy Cave here. You can call us 01480 414 104, or you can send me an email to studio@hcrfm.co.uk, or you can get us on Twitter or Facebook at HCRFM. Finally, you can send me a text to 6366, but remember, put HCR in a space at the start of your message. Otherwise, it won't come through to me and you'll still be charged, so nobody wins. So please make sure that you do follow that and get in touch if you have a question. Now, on to driving offences, Andy. What motoring offences are you finding coming through the door at Hunt and Coombs most often?
Well, we get a variety of offences that come through, but you regularly get people who are speeding. The law in respect of speeding is that if you're doing a certain amount of miles over the limit, then the magistrates have a guide in front of them which basically says what penalty they should give. So the good example is that if you're driving on a motorway at 70
you want a drink?
Oh, hang on a second, there's a short interlude because some lady's offering us a drink. So I think she's just realised that we're live on air. That's okay. The door's
Jackie from the Country Show, everyone. Jackie does the producing for the Country Show, and what she does is she creates all the shows, and then Johnny comes in and presents it. She just popped her head in the door to.
I think she's off to make a nice cup of tea.
Oh, that'd be lovely. Milk and two, Jackie, if you're listening.
Okay,
carry on, please.
So going back to speeding, if you're doing 70 miles an hour on the motorway, you're of course applying. You know, you're driving correctly with the law. The law says basically when you get over 100, which is 30 miles an hour over the limit, then the magistrates are looking at disqualifying you. Underneath that, usually they will give you sets of penalty points, and they will range between 3, 4, 5, and 6, depending on the speed. Of course, lots of people come to me and say, I'm doing 102 or 103, I'm in court. Again, for the same reasons I talked about earlier. I can't lose my license. I'm a salesman, or I'm an owner of a company, or I'm someone who just needs to drive to work, who might work in a field or a factory, and they need to get there. And they will come to me and say, can you, you know, although I'm guilty, can you please, you know, try and explain to the court and make them understand the importance of my license and give me penalty points rather than disqualification? So lots of speeding offences.
So it's not trying to mitigate the offence itself and trying to, why were you doing 102? Why were you doing 103? Is it more about talking about the impact of what will happen if this person loses their license?
Yeah, that's the main issue. Of course, the court are interested in why the offence has been committed. And it may well be, and often the case is, if somebody has, been at work that day, had a really bad day, they might have a child at home unwell. All they want to do is get home quickly. You know, they're not concentrating on what they're doing, and they've let their speed drift up. Then that can often be a reason why someone is caught doing, for instance, 80 miles an hour. In these days, in the, you know, the new fast, you know, cars, it's very easy to, you know, let your right foot get a little heavy and get up to sort of 80 or 90 miles an hour without really noticing. Of course, what you don't want to do is go to court for 102 miles an hour and say, I'm sorry, judge, it was a momentary lapse in my concentration. Because if you're not concentrating at over 100 miles an hour, you're in trouble. And so people often go into court, sometimes unrepresented, and say the wrong things. Obviously, my job is to go into court and help them say the right things to minimise the damage and also get them the best penalty possible.
Okay. Another offence I hear a lot, and I've heard it a lot on the TV and sometimes in the newspapers, driving without due care. What sort of things are encompassed within that phrase, driving without due care?
Well, the offence of driving without due care is driving below the standard of a reasonable, competent driver. So, of course, what is a reasonable, competent driver? Well, that's a decision for the court. But generally, we don't all drive around every day having accidents. We generally don't drive around backing into things. So the court's perception of what a reasonable, competent driver is that somebody who doesn't have accidents, and it's someone who complies with all the legal requirements. So if you drive into somebody, you're making a right-hand turn, and you think the road's clear, and someone's coming and you make your turn and you hit them, then the court would say, you've misjudged that. That wouldn't be what a reasonable, competent driver would do, because you wouldn't have an accident deliberately. It's through a lapse of your concentration or through some other factor that you have committed the offence, and therefore you're guilty. So driving without due care is basically driving as we all do, but when it becomes below the standard of what you would expect of a reasonable, competent driver.
Where does the line then come between an accident and driving without due care and attention? Because to me, from what how you just described it, it can be very grey in between those two.
Yeah, you've hit on a topic that's quite a sore issue with me. Because if you were at a roundabout and somebody in front of you goes and you drive in the back of them, it's an accident. But these days, the police are tasked with statistics, detection of crime. And if the police officers turn up, they'll often say to someone, well, you've driven in the back of them, you know, you're guilty of due care, we're going to detect this crime, we're going to put it through our books and it will look better. I still believe it's an accident. But of course, when they come to court with those offences, I can't argue it's an accident and not an offence. The reason being is because the highway code says you should leave enough distance behind the car in front to be able to react to what it does. So how many times have you stopped at a roundabout leaving two car lengths between you and the car in front? Well, we don't. We're all bumper to bumper at roundabouts in a queue of traffic. But it's not a defence to say, well, that's what everybody does, because the highway code doesn't suggest that. And so often people will be forced to plead guilty to offences, which are, you know, I think are accidents. In civil law, they'd be an accident. And obviously, we're all insured for accidents. But criminally, there has been over the years more push to criminalise and bring to court people who commit traffic offences, when I believe a lot of these jobs, a lot of those incidents, jobs for me, but a lot of those incidents could be dealt with more appropriately through insurance companies and not criminalised drivers.
Okay. I think we could do a whole hour show just on that topic, couldn't we?
We could, yeah, we could.
If we needed to. It's coming up to Christmas, and at Christmas we see on the TV and we see everywhere we can adverts and notices about drink driving. Is this a time of year, do you notice a big increase in the number of cases brought before you that involve drink driving?
Yeah, I've been at court today and I've done five or six drink drivers. And people just don't seem to realise that the big message is there is no get out of jail free card. If you are guilty of driving with excess alcohol, it doesn't matter if you're disabled, if you've got a family member who needs you to drive, it doesn't matter if you need to drive for your job or your house depends on it. The law is strict. If you're guilty of drink driving, you will be disqualified from driving. And the minimum period is 12 months. If, for instance, you are twice the limit, then the sentence that you're going to get is going to be a fine, but it's also going to be 16 to 18 months off the road. And of course, that in itself is devastating to people, because most jobs involve driving, most lifestyles people want to drive, and it can wreck lives, and I've seen it happen. But of course, more importantly than that, if you are over the limit of drinking and somebody steps out in the road in front of you and you hit them, you might be able to say, well, I didn't see them, it was an accident. But as soon as you blow positive, you could be sitting in the police station facing a causing death under the influence of alcohol. And the sentence for that is going to be a long prison sentence. And I'm talking sort of, you know, more than 4, 5, 6 years, even if it's potentially someone's just stepped out in front of you. But the law would say, if you weren't drinking, and you weren't over the limit, you would have reacted quicker, you would have been in a better position, you've caused this accident, you could have caused a death. And I've dealt with many tragic accidents, some of the worst, where people have made bad decisions driving, where they've thought on a Sunday afternoon, a case I did last year, on a Sunday afternoon, a couple were travelling to go and visit a venue in Stamford where they were going to go and get married. There was a lorry that was driving slowly in front of them. They chose to overtake. It wasn't an appropriate place to overtake. It was on a kind of bend and it was slightly obscured. And this is a couple that have never been in trouble in their lives, having a lovely Sunday day out. And unfortunately, there was a car coming the other way and they hit this car and there were two passengers died. Well, for all the mitigation that could be put forward, the judge was left with no option, but he sent the driver of that car to prison for 3 years. Now, of course, he's killed two persons through his negligence because he committed an overtake, which at that position was dangerous. He never intended to commit that offence. He never went out that day to ruin his life and send himself to prison. But the stark reality is, every time we go out in the car, we're at risk. Everyone's got to be ultra careful. And if you drink and drive, particularly at Christmas, when the police will be out there to catch people, and rightly so, But every time you get behind the wheel, drinking and driving, you put others at risk, and the courts will come down very hard on it.
Absolutely. And also, the morning after, more and more people, in my understanding, they're getting caught or blowing over the limit the morning after a heavy session, on their way to work or on their way anywhere, because they've drunk heavily the night before and they haven't had the right amount of time between bottle and throttle.
Yeah, and you could ask me, what is the right amount of time? Well, it's different for everybody. We send off to experts to ask them for advice about drink drive offences and whether people's absorption rates of alcohol on a regular basis. And there is no strict rule. Every individual is different. Every drink is different. Every drink has a different alcoholic volume. Some people can drink more than others and be fit to drive in the morning. Some people can't. I think the message that you've got to look at is that if you're drinking till 4 o'clock in the morning, then you're not going to be suitable to drive until way into the afternoon. And if you take the risk in the morning, then you are putting your license at risk. But also, even though you might feel fine, you might have had breakfast, you might have had 3 cups of coffee, if you have an accident and you're under the influence of alcohol, the penalty is so great that the starting point is considering sending people to prison.